All right, Rabosei, good morning. An incredible, incredible daf ahead of us today. Pesachim is just as good as it's better than I thought it would be. Let's begin by thanking our sponsor, Sammy and Malka Esterson, are our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, dedicating all the Shiurim and Drashas this month in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamos will have an Aliyah and the families in Nechama, as well as our Dafyomi dedication, L'schus of Rafu Shalema, for Ruchama Aviva Bas Sheinachana, and for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Shab, a complete refuah together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. And Abosi, with that, let us begin. Incredible, incredible daf. So today's daf is daf Dalid. We are picking up Emir Tzashem on Gimel Amid Beis. We have a lot to do today. We are picking up, we also remember, we're in the middle of the sugya of using the proper Lashon. What we call Lashon Nikia or Lashon Kitsara. Remember, again, we have this little bit of attention. Well, not really attention, but we have Chazal expressing to us two ideas. Number one, that when speaking, a person should try to avoid Lashon Meguna. Person should try to avoid any type of negative or disparaging or inappropriate wording, verbiage. We spoke about that. Doesn't, of course, refer to Nivol Peh. Doesn't refer to foul language. That's obvious that you're not allowed to use that. But even when speaking, to try to figure out how to express one's ideas in the most refined way possible. In addition to that, the notion of Lashon Kitsara, of speaking in the most concise way possible as well. So also we're picking up on Gimel Amud Beis 3b 2 4 6 8 10 12 14 16 18 20 20 oh wow 22 24 20 okay, a lot of lines up from the bottom, 26 lines up from the bottom. Hano tlasi kahani. We'll say there were these three kohanim. Chad amar lehu hegiene kipul. So we'll say these kohanim each got a portion of the lechem aponim. Remember again, lechem aponim was the bread that was arranged on the shulchan, and that lechem was changed over every Shabbos, right? So the outgoing shift of Kohanim would go ahead and get a portion of the lechem upon him, and then they would replace it with the new loaves on the Shulchan. So there were these three Kohanim we're talking. One Kohen said, I got a piece of lechem upon him the size of a lentil. The Chad Amar Higyanik Hizayis. One said, I got the size of an olive. The Chad Amar Higyanik Hizanav Halto. And one said, I received a piece of lechem upon him, the size of the tail of a lizard. Now, Rabbi say, understand, what a strange thing to say, because Lamaisa, a lizard is a sheretz, right? It's a creepy, crawling creature, which is a davar hatameh. So it's interesting that this coin referred to his portion of the lechem upon him by talking about the tail of a lizard. Badku acharav, so they looked into his yichus, umatzobo shemetz pasal, and they found something ultimately, again, something disqualifying in his yichus. They found that this guy wasn't really a legitimate kohen. Bose, by the way, you find this concept in the Gemara, that when people have negative character traits, that often that is indicative of a fundamental flaw, a genealogical flaw, which is really quite fascinating. When somebody exhibits a trait that is so abrasive and so negative, like the Gemara speaks about the idea that haughtiness or anger could be a sign of mamzerus, right? That he could look into a person's li'ichos, it could be that the person's a mamzer. And not like the way we use, like such a mamzer. Like literally, like a genealogical issue of mamzerus. So you see over the Gemara says, they serve this coin. It talks about the lechem upon him, that it's the size of the tail of a lizard. They looked into his yichos and they found some disqualifying factor in his yichos. The Gemara says, one second, the Gemara says, Vahatanya, in both Gemara and Zechel Umayla, both say, in general, we hold that once a coin has been certified for sacrificial service, right, that he's allowed to do, we don't look back at his yichos. We'll say, now again, Rashi points out, that's because in order to be able to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, there is a whole certifying process that occurs. In other words, you don't just roll into the Beis HaMikdash and say, it's not like you come to shul, that's your Kohen Levi Yisrael. Kohen, okay, fantastic, right? Yamod, right? No certification, nothing, no yichus. Because again, it's an aliyah, it matters, but the stakes are not really all that high. Masha'inkin, in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't just show up and say, I'm a Kohen, ready to do the avodah. There is a certification process that has to be done. So generally, if you're doing the avodah, That means your yichus was certified. So what does it mean over here that because the guy speaks inappropriately, we'll go ahead and go back and look at his yichus? So the Gemara says, lo teima shemetz pasol, ela ema shachatz pasol. It doesn't mean they found something, a shemetz, something disqualifying in his genealogy. Rather, it means they found something disqualifying in his midas. This guy is arrogant, is haughty. See, Rabbi said, this is very interesting. Speaking in an inappropriate or abrasive or more vulgar fashion is demonstrative of arrogance or haughtiness. Humility is very much expressed in the way that one speaks. When one speaks again in a more tamidika fashion, that so shachas pasul means they found this coin to be exceptionally arrogant. The other possibility is shiny hasan diudar nafshe. The other possibility is no, they actually found something disqualifying in his lineage. Aye, but we don't go back and check the yichus of a coin once he's been certified for avodah. That's true as long as he doesn't raise any red flags. But in this case over here, the coin in question raised red flags because of the way that he spoke. So indeed, they did go back and somehow the guy slipped through the cracks. Somehow he was certified for Mizbeach service when he should have never been certified. Interesting. Weiter. Hahu Aramah. That's another interesting story. Listen to this. There was this Aramean. Rabbi says, so there was this Gentile. I mean, it's a Gentile who posed as a Jew. Why? Because he wanted to get to eat Karban Pesach. Right? He wanted the Karban Pesach. So for years, he was posing as a Jew and was part of a Chabura for Karban Pesach. Rabbi says, listen to this. Ksiv, kol benecha lo yochabo. So Rabbi says, so he goes, so what happens? So he goes ahead and he says as follows. He says, he said, we're going to see who he said it to. He said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. He said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, you know, the Torah says, kol benecha lo yochabo. So obviously this guy was educated as well. He said, you know, it says in your Torah that any Gentile is not supposed to eat from Karban Pesach. Kol oro yochabo. Any uncircumcised person is not supposed to eat from the Karban Pesach. Va'ana hakachilna mishipuri shufri. And this Gentile said, this time he said, you know, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, me, every year I eat Karban Pesach. Not only do I eat Karban Pesach, they give me the nicest cut of meat. The nicest cut of meat. So we'll say, I'm going to do it. We'll say, so first of all, we'll say, what an incredible Musar. What an incredible Musar. You know, we all sin. If you're going to sin, don't talk about it. Right? If you're going to sin, keep it to yourself. But see, this happens all the time. This happens all the time where people go ahead and somehow become so... See, if I'm going to at least be a humble sinner. So a humble sinner sins, but he doesn't talk about it. An arrogant sinner sins and talks about it. So the guy now is an arrogant sinner. So I'm going to read him and say, Nika safalukhame alya. So Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda says, really, they give you the nicest meat? Tell me, have they ever given you from the fatty tail? Have they ever given you the fatty tail? So the Gemara says, Amrle, lo kisalakta lahasan, lo. So the Nachri said, no. Ari, he could see over you. Gil could see over you. You don't have to worry. So the Gemara says, so Amrle, lo kisalakta lahasan. So Yudhim Mesera says, so you know, do me a favor. When you go, so go ahead and make sure that you tell them, Emelu Savli Me'alya. Make sure you tell them, give me from the fatty tail. So we'll say this is a setup. Kisalach lazim, so next Pesach comes along. Amrle, Savli Me'alya. So ultimately again, I'm sorry, Amrle, Me'alya Safali. So the Nachri, Kabesach, the Nachri, once again, is part of his Chabura, he says to the Chabura, do me a favor, this year I want the fatty tail. Amrle, the fatty tail, they said, Alya Legavo Asaka. The fat of the tail is offered up on the Mizbeach. No one eats that. Everyone knows that. Right? The fat is offered up on the Mizbeach. What are you talking about? Amrle, man amrle chahachi. So they said to you, look, you've been part of our chabura for years. We know you. You're one of the chevra. Right? You never asked for the fat on the tail before. Tell me who told you to ask for the fat. Amrle hu, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rosh says, well, I went to speak with my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, about this. Right? And he advised that I should eat the fat of the tail. So Amru, they said, my hide the kamon. So we'll say, obviously at this point in time, they realize something's up over here. Something's up over here. Because why would Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira tell a Jew to go ahead and ask for the fat of the tail when everyone knows that the fat of the tail is offered up on the Mizbeach? Badku basrei. So sure enough, they looked into this guy. Vashkechu daramahu. They found that he was a Gentile. Vikatluhu. And they killed him. They killed him. And I will say, now obviously, again, what they were must have been that they were scared about with this individual, that there was some type of malicious intent involved in this. Obviously, it was a time where Jews had power to be able to do this, so they executed the guy. So, listen to this. they sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Peace be unto Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Da'at ben Nitzivin, because you live in the city of Nitzivin. Umitzudascha perusa b'Yerushalayim. But your trap is set in Yerushalayim. So we'll say, so an incredible thing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira laid the trap for this guy for his deception to be discovered. Now Tosas happens to point out over here, so the Tosas says, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira come to Yerushalayim? But again, remember, if it's Pesach, and it's Krampe, it says, Mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira sets the trap, but why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira himself also go to, why wasn't he Ola Rega? Why didn't he make the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim on Pesach? So you'll look at Tosas on Yonis, Tosas Me'alyo. Tosas gives a couple of different answers. That possible Rabbi Yehuda maybe didn't own land. The obligation of Aliyah L'Regel is only if you own real estate. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira was too old to go up. Perhaps Nitzivin, that they're referencing over here, was actually not in the land of Israel. It was outside, it was Chutzlarts. Okay, you'll take a look at that Tosas. Merz Ad Rav Kana Chalash. Let's listen to this Gemara. It's the same concept of being careful how you talk. But we'll say here the Gemara is going to speak about the idea that it is important not to be the bearer of bad news. Not to be the bearer of bad news. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Kahana Chalash, Rav Kahana became ill. Shadri Rabban al Rabbi Yoshua Braid Rav Idi. So the rabbi sent Rabbi Yoshua, the son of Rav Idi, to go see how he was doing. Amr Le Zil Bedok Mai Dine. Go and see how Rav Kahana is doing. Asa Ashkechei Dinach Nafshe. So once Rabbi Yoshua comes along, by the time Rabbi Yoshua shows up, Rav Kahana had already passed away. Kari Levushe. So therefore Rabbi Yoshua tore his clothing. Vahadre Lekarei La'achore. He went ahead and, so once he tore his clothing, but then he turned his cloak backwards. He turned his cloak backwards. That way when people would see him coming, they would not see the tear. Ubachi, he started to cry. Vyasi, and then he came back. Amrulei. Nach Nafshe, so we'll say they saw that Rabbi Yoshua had been crying. Now remember, they didn't see the tear in his clothing because he turned his garment backwards, but they saw that he had been crying. They said, did Rav Kahana pass away? Amar le, ana lo ka imno, umotzi diba huksil. He said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything, because he quotes the pasuk, literally, he who goes ahead and brings forth speech is a fool. So we'll say the notion that ultimately, again, not to be the bearer of bad news. What's interesting, because you know, some people love to be the first, you know, the first out of the gate with sharing bad news. So we'll say this notion, this idea, don't be the person who brings sadness to other people. Bad news is always found out. That's the good part about bad news. Spreads very quickly. Everyone's going to find out. It doesn't have to come from me. So Rabbi Yeshua felt, you know what? The Rabbana will find out that Rav Kahana passed away. It doesn't have to come from me. Yochanan Chakuka Nafak Likir Yasa. So Yochanan Chakuka, Rashi points out over here that was a nickname. Others say that ultimately, again, that's the name of his city. So what happens? Nafach l'kiryasa. He went out by the villages to check on the crops. Kiyasa, when he came back, Amar le'chitin nasu yafa. So let's listen to this. Yochanan came back to the city. So the city dwells asked him, tell us, how is the wheat crop doing well this year? Amar lahem so'orim nasu yafos. So what did he say? The barley is beautiful. The barley is beautiful. So they asked him about the wheat. He said, the barley is beautiful. So Amr Lei, say ubisa l'susim v'lachamorim. Great, go tell that to the horses and the donkeys, because they are the only ones who eat barley. Right? So it doesn't matter. So dichsev has son of Atevan l'susim v'lachash. So my havi lei v'meim. So they were annoyed at Yochanan. For obviously the wheat crop did not turn out well. Yochanan Chakko did not want to mention that the wheat crop did not turn out well. So he said, the barley is beautiful. So what should he have said? What would have been a better way to say this? He should have said, last year, the wheat crop was great. Inami adoshim nasu yafas. Or ultimately, he could have said, the lentils really came out nicely. So we'll say, the idea being lentils, wheat, Rashi points out, are things that people eat. Barley is animal food. Now this is very interesting. So here, what you see is like, it's so interesting how exacting the Gemara is being with his Lashon. But the message to us being that a person has to be precise with their words. So first of all, again, I have to be refined with my speech. I have to be concise with my speech. And I have to be direct with my speech. In other words, Words should be measured. So I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but the news that I do share should be news that is relevant to the person who I'm speaking to. So therefore, again, if the wheat crop is not good, don't talk about barley, because barley doesn't have an impact upon people. So you don't want to say that barley's not good. Fine. I'm sorry. You don't want to say the wheat's not, you don't want to say the wheat crop didn't come out well. So that's fine. Say last year's was great. The lentils are great. So again, on both sides, it's be refined, be concise, be direct, be specific. You know, I mentioned this before. Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that the worst word in the English language, the worst word, is whatchamacallit. Whatchamacallit. He says, why? Because if you're saying whatchamacallit, it means that you have not properly thought through what it is that you want to say. Don't speak, said Rav Pam, before you know exactly what you want to say and how you want to say it. That's what Chazal are expressing to us. Refined speech, concise speech, relevant speech, direct speech. So the Gemara goes weiter. Top of Dalit. Good, today's daf. Incredible. Yeah. Good. Rav Barachua, Drabchia, Ubar Achse. So we'll say, let's listen to this. So Rav was the son of the brother of Rabbi Chia and the daughter of Rabbi Chia. Excuse me, and the son of the sister of Rabbi Chia. So we'll say, remember again, So essentially, that ultimately, again, Rabbi Chia, Rashi points out all of the relationships over here. Rashi says, Rav Barachua o Bar Achse. The Rabbi Chia was meaning that Rav was the son of the brother and the son of the daughter of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi says, Rabbi Chia essentially had a half-brother and a half-sister who came again from two different parents who ultimately married each other. They were unrelated to one another. Their parents married, but they were unrelated to each other. And Rav was, and Rabbi Chia was a sibling to both of them. Rashi points out over here, Aivu Aviv Shal Rav Achiv Shal Rabbi Chia Hava Min Ha'av. So again, Rashi explains the relationship over here. Kisalak La'asam, Shabbos said, when Rav went to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Lei, Rabbi Chia asked him, Aivu Kayam, is my brother Aivu alive? Is my brother Aivu alive? Alive? Amrlei, Ima Kayames. So Rabbi say, Rav responded, is Ima alive? So what happened was, just to understand, at this point in time, both Aivu and Ima had both passed away. So Rav is coming to visit Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia is inquiring about the welfare of his brother and sister. Rav does not want to go ahead and share with him explicitly that they both passed away. So Rabbi Chia says, tell me, is my brother Aivu alive? To which Rav responds, is Ima alive? He asks him back a question, which is a strange question to ask. Amar le Ima kayames? Does that mean Ima's alive? Amar le Aivu kayam? So again, Rav says, is Aivu alive? So again, every time Rabbi Chia asks a question about one of his siblings, so Rav responds with a questioning if the other sibling is alive. So Rabbi Chia understands. Amar le Shamei, he said to his attendant, Chalos li menali, go ahead and take off my shoes. Well, say, take off my shoes. So he said to his servant, take off my shoes. Meaning what? That taking off the shoes is a sign of Avelos. That Rabbi Chia realized that his brother and his sister had both passed away. So he took off his shoes as a sign of mourning. But then he says, V'holich kli, or holich kelei achore lebeis amechatz, take my utensils with me to the bathhouse. So the Gemara says, Shmamina tlas. We learn from here three things. Shmamina, avil asa binilas asandal. We learn from here, number one, that a mourner is not permitted to wear shoes. Shmamina, Shmur Rechoka, Eino no Heges, Elo Yom Echad. We learn from Rabosai, Shmur Rechoka. Now, this is actually very interesting. In Hilchos Avedos Rabosai, there's what's called the Shmur Rechoka and the Shmur Krovo, meaning what? Let's say you hear about the death of a loved one sometime after the death occurred. What is the halach in terms of your obligation for mourning practices? So the Gemara says, it depends. If it's a Shmur Krova, which means if you hear within 30 days of the death, you're obligated to observe Shiva. A full Shiva. If it's a Shmuel Rechoka, which means that ultimately, again, you hear after 30 days of the death, then you are only obligated to go ahead and observe one day. And even that, we'll say that's in Shmuel Rechoka, Eino no Heges El Yom Echad, right? So therefore, again, if you hear about a death after 30 days, you only have to observe one day of Shiva. But not only that, Ushma Mina Mikzas Hayom Kikulo. And I'll both say with that, it's not even a full day. It's not even a full day. Rather, you're only obligated to observe actually part of a day as Avelos, and that part of the day counts as the whole. And I will say, That is indeed halacha lemaaseh. You know, this comes up sometimes if, let's say, again, an elderly person, a very elderly person, loses a loved one, and there is a concern about the impact that sitting shiva might have on that person. Sometimes you could delay in sharing the news about the death of a loved one for 30 days or more. And if you're able to do that, again, the person really only has to observe a partial day of Shiva. So we'll say that's what's happening over here. Obviously, Reb Chiya just found out that his brother and sister had both passed away. They had both passed away more than 30 days ago. So what happens? He tells his attendant, take off my shoes. That's the avelos. But then he says, take my utensils to the bathhouse, because he's only going to observe just a moment of avelos, and then he's going to go to the bathhouse. So those are the three halachas that come out from this particular yisod. Hahu damar lebos, another interesting idea. Now we're just going to talk about that. Sometimes you could learn a lot about people by how they talk. Hahu damar Donu Dinai. So we'll say, or Donu Dini. There was this guy, we'll say, who always said, let's go to Beis Din. So we'll say, Rashi points out that this individual, whenever he had a dispute with someone, he would always say, fine, let's take it to Beis Din. Let's go to Beis Din, right? He would only pay his debts once he went to Beis Din. So the Gemara says, so what happened? Amri, Shmami, Nami, Don Kasi. It must be that this guy comes from the Shevet of Don. Why? Dichsev, Don Yadin Amo, Ke'echat Shifte Yisrael. Because you're about to say, apparently, the Don is very into adjudication. I don't know, maybe like lawyers. You know, maybe those who are very, very tethered and, you know, embedded in the law. And so this guy who was always into going to Beis Din, seems like an exceptionally contentious individual, was from the Shevet of Don. Hahu Tavaka Azil Va'amri Akif Yama Asisoni Birasa. There was a guy who said, you know, if I ever have money, I'm going to build myself a palace on the seashore. For me, right, my dream is a waterfront vacation home. This is what this guy always said. So they did a little yichus investigation. They found that he came from Zvulun. Why would it say by Zvulun? Zvulun l'chof yamim yishkan. I'm about to say, because Zvulun, right, their tribal portion was by the seashore. So this guy who had this pining for waterfront property, apparently, again, he was from the shape of the Zvulun. Which I'm about to say, what's the point of this Gemara? It's really an incredible Yisrael. What the Gemara is saying is, I will say, sometimes it's interesting to examine the things you want out of life and to understand that sometimes what you want out of life is very much representative of something deeper that is occurring inside of you. We all have, this goes back to what Rabbi Tzaddik was saying, we all have this internal energy that wants us to accomplish. The differences are both said that some people, it's all about channeling that energy in the right way. So one guy is very contentious, right? He's always going to Beis Din. He's from Dun. What that really stems from is from a desire ultimately, again, to do things correctly, right? A strong desire for truth, a strong desire for justice. This desire might have been a bit corrupted in this individual and manifested itself as a very litigious nature, right? The guy from Zvulun, ultimately, again, wants waterfront property. And I will say that strength of Zvulun, remember again, Zvulun were the ones who were responsible for bringing the chilazon, right? It's responsible for bringing the snails which produced the dye for Tcheles. Tcheles domel yam, yam domel rakia, rakia domel kisi akavit. That Tcheles brought us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So people have all types of internal energy. It's interesting sometimes to figure out how that energy manifests itself. And I'll tell you something amazing. Shlomo Arush brings down one of his Svarim, a beautiful idea. He speaks out very quickly. He speaks out the dynamic of window shopping. He says, why is it that people like window shopping? Right? It makes no sense. Right? I understand if you go shopping, you need something and you buy it. But the notion that there's like a hanah of looking at stuff. What's the pshat? That there's a hanah of looking at stuff? It's a pleasurable act. He says something so beautiful. He says, you know, at the end of the day, the neshama really desires. The neshama really desires to acquire mitzvahs. So the neshama dispatches a message to the guf, because the guf is how the neshama interacts. It says, acquire, get more mitzvahs, more ruchnias. The problem is that sometimes the guf takes that message and corrupts it into a materialistic message. So it becomes all about acquisition. Just acquisition of all the wrong things. So it's the right energy. It's the right energy. Just by the time it comes to Olam Hazeh, it just becomes interpreted in a very materialistic gashmi way. He says the same thing, by the way. Why is it that people long for home? Right? You could be on vacation, and vacation could be wonderful. At a certain point in time, everybody wants to go home. What's the pshat? I am on vacation at somewhere beautiful. Because Rabbi said that comes to the neshama also. The neshama yearns to be home. The neshama yearns to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the neshama dispatches a message to the guf, let's get back home, let's get back close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But often when the guf gets that message, the guf interprets it in a physical way to get back to a physical home. So there's so much energy inside of us. How it gets interpreted and how it's manifested in this world is very often an incredible indicator of where we come from, who we are, and what we want. Weiter. I will say, back to Pesachim. The I will say, now that we established in yesterday's daf, that according to everyone, R means nighttime. Not even evening. Nighttime. Michti bein Rabbi Yehuda ubein Rabbi Meir chametz eino aser ela mishesh shavus ulemaylo v'nivdok b'shis. So we'll say, let's go back. Okay. So now what we've established is or la arbaser bokin esa chametz means when do we search for chametz as of? When do we search for chametz? When night of the 14th. Why? Everyone agrees. I will say that chametz is only aser as of midday on Erev Pesach. Now the truth is, it's going to be Aser earlier than midday. We're going to discuss that today also. But at least Halacha L'maisa Midaraisa, Chametz is only Aser as of midday on Erev Pesach. So why am I checking for Chametz the night before? He says, Nivdok Peshis. Why don't I check at the sixth hour? In other words, if Chametz becomes Aser midday on Erev Pesach, let me check midday Erev Pesach for chametz. V'chitei mazuz makdim lemitzvahs. So you say, oh, zrizos. So zrizos, alacrity in the performance of mitzvahs. That's why you check the night before. Okay. Nivdok mitzafra. We'll say you want to be zariz, check the morning. Fine. So really you could check midday. So zrizos says, let's check that morning. After all, the chsiv, ubayom ha-shini mobasar arlo. So Pasuk says, Du b'smila on the eighth day. And what do we say? The Gemara says, V'sanyo, kol yam kula kasher l'mila. In reality, you could do b'smila the whole day. Elish has reason, makdim l'mitzvah, shenei emar v'yashkim avram baboker. I will say, so in reality, you could do b'smila the whole day. The whole day. But yet, we daf could do b'smila when possible in the morning because of zrizos. We will say, where do we learn zrizos from? V'yashkim avram baboker. We learn zrizos out again from the Akedah. That Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning to go to Akedas Yitzchak. So I will say, see, even if you want to tell me that you want to do the Bedikah earlier than midday because of Zrizos, fantastic. So do it in the morning. But why would I be obligated to do it the night before? Amrav Nachar Bar Yitzchak, B'shosh Shebenei Adam Mitzim Bevateyem, V'or Hayner Yafal Bedikah. I will say, very interesting. The Gemara explains, because ultimately, again, when do we do the Bedikah? We do the Bedikah at a time when people are home. That's A. And B, when candlelight is most effective. Say if Rabbi say candlelight is most effective at night. And remember, as we'll discuss, the whole point of the candle, Rabbi say too often the candle becomes for us a bit ceremonial. The candle is not ceremonial. The candle is exceptionally utilitarian in nature. The candle is there to allow you to get into the crevices, into the nooks and crannies, and to look for chametz. So when does candlelight work best? At night. And furthermore, again, Erev Pesach is a pretty hectic day. Midday Erev Pesach, people are not home. But nighttime, the night before Pesach, people are home. Sefer Abba say, interestingly enough, number one, there's Rizos. Sefer, I don't wait till the last minute. But I back it up till the nighttime because ultimately people are home and candlelight is good. Amar Abai Hilchach, therefore Abai says, this is very important. Therefore, Hilchach, Haitzra Mir Abana Lo Liftach Be'inei Ba'arta Tlaisar Denagiyar Be'isar. Therefore, Talmid Chacham should not begin his chavrusa, or should not begin his seder of learning. On the evening of the 13th, going into the night of the 14th, Dilma Mashchil Shmaite V'asilem Nuri Mitzvah, lest he get involved in his learning, and ultimately, again, not engage in Bedikas Chametz. So we'll say, this is the halachas codified in Shulchan Aruch, that already from the evening of the 13th, we try not to engage in activities that could be drawn out, whether it's a meal or whether it's learning, lest I go ahead and forget to do Bedikas Chametz. So we'll say, this is incredibly important. So here's what we have. Number one, R means nighttime. R la'arbas of Okinetz Chametz, I do Bedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th. Why the night of the 14th? Maybe Zrizos. Can't be Zrizos, because if it was just about Zrizos, then when should I do the Bedikah? When? Morning of the 14th. So rather, why the night of the 14th? Two reasons. Number one, people are home. Number two, candlelight is most effective at night. Beautiful. Great cases now. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked the following shayla from Nachman Yitzchak. Hamaske b'yisach habero, bar ba'asar, ami livdok. Listen to this great shayla. If I rent a home from someone. Right? Suppose I'm renting a vacation home for Pesach. Suppose and I rent it on the 14th. Who has the obligation for Bedikas Chametz? So we'll say, assuming now, by the way, I'm renting it from a Jew. So I'm renting a vacation home from a Jew, right? I rented the rental begins on the 14th of Nisan. Who has the obligation to do the bedika? Ami livdok, ala maskilu techamir ditehu. So we'll say, do we say it's the landlord, right? It's the owner's responsibility because after all, the owner, technically speaking, owns everything in the home. And therefore, if there is any chametz in the home, it's the landlord's and he has the obligation. O dilma ala socher livdok, the surah bishu sekai. Or maybe it's the renter. Because at the end of the day, the renter is going to be renting the premises. And if there is chametz, the chametz is going to be in his home. To which the Gemara says, so who has the obligation? To which the Gemara says, Tashma, Hamaskir Bais Techavero, if someone rents a home to his friend, Ala Socher Lasos Lo Mezuzah. So we'll say, swing arrived from a different place. If I rent an apartment, I rent a home. So we'll say, who has the obligation of Mezuzah? The renter has an obligation for Mezuzah. So I would say the same idea, same way, that the renter has the obligation for Mezuzah, so too the renter has the obligation for Bedikas Chametz. To which the Gemara says, they're not necessarily comparable. Hasam ha amra misharshia mezuzah chovas hadarhi. No. We'll say, everyone knows that mezuzah is the obligation of the person who is living in the home. We'll say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, chovas hadar, it's in the wide lines, about four lines down. Lefisho mishamarto uksiv beischa biascha nichnas viyotze. We'll say, it's different. Mezuzah, we'll say, mezuzah affords shmira. Mezuzah affords protection. So therefore, it is the one who is living in the home who has the need for protection. So of course, mezuzah is going to be obligatory upon the individuals living in the home. But Rashi says, Abahacha, bedikas chametz midrabanan. Let's go back to the Gemara. Hacha mai. So we'll say, ultimately again, by mezuzah, the obligation is certainly on the person who lives there. But you can't say, bring a raya from that to chametz. We learn this. If someone rents a home to his friend, listen to this, to which the Gemara says, everything depends on who has the keys on the 14th. Whoever has the keys on the 14th has the obligation to go ahead and do bedikas chametz. So both say, incredibly important. Incredibly important. Now, keys, by the way, just essentially means whoever has the right of entry, right, and the ability to enter on the 14th has the obligation for B'dikin. This is codified in Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, if I rent a home, right, I rent a vacation home from Reuven, I'm renting it, the rental begins on the 14th, who has the obligation for B'dikin? Everything depends who has the keys on the 14th. If the landlord has the keys, the owner has the keys, he has the obligation of bedika. I, the renter, have the keys. I have the obligation of bedika. To which the Gemara says, so as well, say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is Mesiras Maftechos, who kinyan aschirus, vim achelo masra mafteach nichnas lel arbasar, chalo chovav sabdika la maskir, shadain haiser beshuso, vafavisha masra lo bayam kvar chalamos. So Rashi points something interesting. We'll say, so let's say again, remember, I'm renting a vacation home. Now, let's say again, I'm coming the morning of the 14th, Erev Pesach in the morning. So because the landlord has the keys on the night of the 14th, he has the obligation of bedika. So we'll say it's really whoever has the keys on the night of the 14th has the obligation of bedikas chametz. And we'll say that in fact is codified in Shulchan Aruch. Beautiful. Let's go back. We'll say, watch this. What about the following case? I rent a home from Reuven. Then I will say, so again, all of this is assuming you're renting a home from a Jew. I rent a home from Reuven. Beautiful. I'm going away for Pesach. And what happens? I get a vacation home and I'm renting it from a Jew. I show up there on Erev Yom Tov, 10 o'clock in the morning on Erev Pesach. So can I assume that Reuven, the owner, did a bedika or not? Could I assume that the home is baduk or not? Could I assume that the home has been checked for chametz? So am I nafkim? So I don't say, why do you have to rely on anything? Call up Reuven. Ask Reuven. Reuven, did you do a bedik or not? Okay, so we'll say, so the Gemara says, Reuven's not around. So there's no one for me to ask. So we'll say, here the shayla. I show up Erev Pesach, right, into my beautiful vacation rental, right? And now I have one simple shayla. Do I have to do bedikah? Do I have to do bedikas chametz or not? Can I assume? Remember, what did we just say before? Who has, if somebody's renting their home for Pesach, who has the obligation ultimately for bedikas chametz? Who has the obligation? Whoever has the keys the night of the 14th. Now, in this case, Reuven had the keys, right? So I roll in there on Erev Pesach morning. Can I assume that Reuven did the bedikah or not? The Gemara says, ask him. He's not around. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, So what's I say? Here's the shayla. Am I obligated to go ahead and do a bedikah? Or can I assume that Reuven did it? So the Gemara says, "Amaluhu Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Tinisua." We learn this. Hakol ne'emanin al bir chametz afilu nashim va'afilu avodim va'afilu kitanim. So I'll say we learned this already. That what? That halacha l'maisa, everyone is believed regarding. Now I'll say it says bir chametz, but what it really means is everyone is believed regarding bedikas chametz. That women, children, avodim, everyone is believed to say that a home was properly inspected for chametz. See, even those who aren't normally able to give edos are permitted to say, are believed to say, this home was checked for chametz. So the Gemara says, my time, Mahamni. Now I don't understand. Why are they believed? In other words, we'll say, they're not believed for edos, right? They're not believed for edos. So halacha l'maaseh, why are they believed to say that the home was properly checked for chametz? Amud Beis. It must be because, why Rabbi was saying, because every Jewish home has a cheskas baduk. In other words, Rabbi was saying, now, why does every home have a cheskas baduk? Why does every Jewish home have a chazaka that it's been checked for chametz? Because Rabbi was saying, every Jew has a cheskas kashrus, right? Every Jew has a chazaka that they do the right thing. So therefore, there's a chazaka that if a home was owned by a Jew on the night of the 14th, then Allah Kalamai said, that Jew checked for chametz. So therefore, I will say, Nashim Avadim Kitanim would be believed to say, this home was checked for chametz, because really all they're doing is what? All they're doing is certifying that which we already know, or we already believe, that this home is a chazaka, that it was checked. Because I will say, we assume that everyone is a chaver. Remember again, I will say, a chaver is someone who is considered to be trustworthy and upholds the tenets of halacha. We assume that everyone is a chaver when it comes to bedikas chametz. This sanya, I will say, because Gemara gives another example of a chaver. This sanya, chaver shemes ve'niach megorim elei peros. If a chaver dies, we'll say chaver dies, and he left a basket filled with fruit. Afilo hin b'nei yoman, even if the fruit was just harvested that day, we assume that they have been properly tied. Because we assume that a chaver does not maintain untithed produce. So maybe we assume the same way that a chaver doesn't maintain untithed produce. So everyone is considered to be a chaver regarding bedikas chametz. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, we assume that a Jew always properly checks his home. So therefore, I will say, every Jewish home of a person, I will say, this presupposes that a person observes and knows halacha. So assuming a person knows and observes halacha, there's a chazaka that a person went ahead and checked their home. And therefore, again, nashim kitanim and avodim, if they say this home has been inspected for chametz, halacha l'maaseh, again, they are believed. They are believed. This is a chazaka mitukhanim. Umimai, dilma shayni hacha, mishum deka amrihani. So maybe it's different here. Maybe no. Maybe we don't say that a home has a cheskas baduk. Maybe we don't say that. Where the only reason ultimately, again, this home will have a cheskas baduk is because in this case, you have nashim kitanim o avadim who are certifying that fact, to which the Gemara says, to be honest, does the testimony of Nashim, Avodim, and Kitanim move the needle one way or the other? We'll say, again, a person's testimony is only believed if they are begeder edos, if they are within the framework of normal testimonial unit. But Allah Chalamaisa, again, a woman, Nashim, Avodim, Kitanim, are not able to be edim. So why should their statement be meaningful over here? Elamai cheskaso debadik. Elamai de cheskaso badik. So we'll say rather it must mean over here that inachinami a home has a cheskes balan. And I will say, and perhaps he just says an aside, you know, we have, well, let's finish this. There is a concept of also of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin. One witness is believed in cases of Isurin. Nashim are also believed in cases of Isurin. But again, that's a bigger discussion. Elamai D'cheskas Abadik. So I will say, rather, it has to be that Halacha L'maisa, we assume that a Jewish home has a cheskas badek, has a chazaka that has been checked for chametz. I hakol ne'emanim, if that's the case, I hakol ne'emanim, kalabatim mecheskas bedukim bar basar, by the way. If that's the case, then the Braisa should not have said everyone is believed to certify the cheskas badek of a home. Rather, it should have said that what? Every home has a cheskas badek. So really, this has nothing to do with anyone's testimony. Rather, what does this have to do with? That a home has a chazakah that it's been properly checked for chametz. That's what this is about. What anyone is saying about it is really irrelevant. Ella mai mishuma mira dahani. So rather, again, we're going backwards. Rather, it must be, no, it must be that in fact, it is the testimony of the Nashim Avodim and Kintanim that certifies the cheskas batak of this home, to which the Gemara says, if that's the case, halo amri hani lo. If that's the case again, that halacha lemaisa, and if the national avodim ketanim were not to give testimony, then the home would not have a cheskas baduk. Tivshot mine de ein cheskas baduk. So I guess we're not from this that home doesn't have a cheskas badika. Lo the olam emelacha cheskas baduk. No, the Gemara says no. Both say every Jewish home, right? If the owner is Jewish, knowledgeable of halacha, and known to us to be an observant individual, the home has a cheskas badek. Rabbi say a Jewish home has a chazaka that it has been checked for chametz. And if Rabbi say again, let's take this full circle. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, when I go ahead and I rent my rental home, I rent home from Reuven, and I come in there on the morning of Erev Pesach, there is a chazaka that Reuven checked that home for chametz. Havacha maraskin, Rabbi say, what's the case over here? The muchzak lan de lo badek. Oh, it's very interesting. Both said the case over here is that halacha lemaisa, I have a chazaka that Reuven did not do a bedika. They both say, why did, what's the chazaka Reuven didn't do a bedika? I saw Reuven in the base medrash the whole night. Reuven was learning the whole night. He wasn't home. So I saw Reuven in the base medrash the whole night, which seems to indicate to me that Reuven did not do bedikas chametz. Vika amri hani badikne. And now what happens? A woman, an eved, a katan shows up and says, no, Reuven did do bedikas. So we'll say, you see what's happening over here? I'm renting the house from Reuven. I see Reuven in the base medrash the whole night of Erev Pesach. But now again, nashim avodim ketan give testimony that Reuven did do the bedika. So we'll say, what's the status of the house? The Gemara says, mal detema, lo lehem ninu rabbanon. You might have thought, well, the testimony of an Isha, an Eved, or a Katan should be inconsequential because, again, they're not normally believed to give Eidus. So therefore, again, the fact that an Isha, a Katan, or an Eved says that Reuven did the Bedika should be irrelevant, to which he says, Kamash Malon, Kevan de Bedika Eschamitz Midirabanon, since Rabbi said the whole notion of Bedika Eschamitz is only Midirabanon, to Midoraisa Bebetel Ba'amisagile. Rabbi said, we're going to discuss this concept in great length. Midoraisa, you do not need bedikas chametz. Midoraisa, all you need is bittel. Right? Rabbi said bittel means you make your chametz hefker. Right? Remember again, that is enough midoraisa. Why? For very simple, because Rabbi said you're only in violation of bal yiro'e bal yimatze, of seeing your chametz and owning your chametz. If what? If it's your chametz. If you make it all hefker, there are no isurim. The Chazal said bittul is not enough. You also have to do a bedika. We'll discuss the shemi matzek luska yefifia because we're concerned that you may come to eat chametz on Pesach if it's around, even if it's not yours. So since midaraisa bittul is enough, midrabban you need bedika. Hemnu rabban midrabbanon. Chazal believed nashim avodim and kintanim when it comes to dina midrabbanon. So therefore, we'll say the halach amazingly enough is a home has a cheskas baduk. So we'll say this is incredibly important. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that halacha lemaisa, I'll read this to you quickly. This is in, very, very quickly. This is in Tuf Lamed Tes Beis, very quickly. No, we're not going to have Tuf Lamed Hamaskir bais the chavero. Sorry, tough lamed zayin base. Hamaskir bais the chavero becheskas baduk. So we'll say ultimately. Actually, we'll see. This is. Hamsocher bais the chavero biyodalid. The inyo deim who baduk im who beir shalo im barkul im inyo beir cheskaso baduk. Umevartlo belibo v'dayir. We'll say that's the halacha. The halacha is if you rent a home from someone, and again you didn't ask him, did you do a bedika or not? Again, this is assuming I came there. Remember again the morning of Erev Pesach. Because remember, if you rent the home the night of Erev Pesach, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? The renter has to do the bedika. The Bible says when you rent a home from a Jew and you show up there on the morning of Erev Pesach, that home has a cheskas baduk. The Shulchan Aruch says obviously if you could ask the owner, if you did the bedika, ask the owner. But if for some reason you can't find him, you can't ask him. There is a chazaka that the home had a bedika, and all you need to do is bittel and shalom al Yisrael. The Gemara just says that in a case where, let's say again, I think I'm pretty sure that the owner did not do a bedika, and Noshim Avodim and Kintanim come and certify or testify that the owner did do a bedika, Noshim Avodim and Kintanim can be believed in that case, since again the whole bedika is only a din derabanan. These individuals will be believed legabe edin drabanan. Incredible. One more line. So again, so halacha number one, whoever has the keys on the night of Erev Pesach has the obligation of bedika. Number two, if you come to a home on Erev Pesach, the home owned by a Jew, that home has a chazaka that it is indeed baduk. That it is, is incredibly important. Obviously, I don't rely on the chazaka. If I could clarify it, I clarify it. But if I can't clarify it, halacha ma'aseh, I could rely on the fact that it indeed had a bedik. All right, we'll stop over. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this Ibai Lahu tomorrow. Shkayach, everyone.